Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Want to improve the quality of your pasture? There are opportunities to learn how coming up. Let's go in-depth with Joe Sellers with the ISU Extension Office. Joe, grazing to a layperson, it doesn't seem like it should be too complex, but it's more complex than a layperson might think, I presume.
Yeah, that's correct. There's a lot of better management on grazing can certainly make a tremendous difference to help protect the soil and also more productivity.
So it's just not, you just grow some grass and you put cattle on it?
We really want to make sure that we manage the grass properly so we get all the production we can and also protect the soil as well as we can. So essentially, make sure we don't turn out too early. We'd like to rotationally graze so we manage grass height so we keep it really good quality but not graze it too close to the ground. And then basically, as we go along, we can keep on improving the productivity and hopefully handle more cattle on the same numbers of acres. So we'll either get more grazing days and graze later in the year or maybe even have more cows per acre.
Okay, and we can do that by being smart.
Yeah.
And so you're hosting a grazing workshop series at the McNay Research Farm down by Sheraton. It's going to be this summer and fall. Can you tell us just sort of the basics of it? Is it all one day, several days? What's sort of the layout?
Yep. Well, we've done this for a number of years and had this series around the state in a lot of different places. It's been a few years since I've had it at the McNay Farm, but our goal is to try to make it be really a really in-depth grazing class. And, you know, in the past, we've done a lot of pasture walks, which are just like one time, maybe 2-3-4 hour meetings, which are helpful. They're very good, but maybe we don't get as much depth or we don't get as much detail as we could. So on the Greenhorn Grazing Series, we started that with the idea to have a more detailed, more in-depth class. And so it'll be five parts, and we basically have four to five hours of contact hours each day when we have a class. So it'll be, and this year we're going to start them at 4:30 in the evening, so hopefully it'll appeal to some people who do work also. But it's a class that in the past was sponsored by the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture, and so that helped us build a lot of resources we have that we use for it. And so they really get a lot of good resource materials they can use, plus a really good in-depth meeting, and they also get to network with other producers.
Well, and the legislature killed the Leopold Center, right?
Right. I mean, there still is a Leopold Center, but not really funded, you know. So basically, they really are trying to compete to find some other sources of funds. But if you look at the past, you know, in Iowa, most of the grazing-related or forage-related research that was really funded was funded at least in part by the Leopold Center. So both like these education programs like this and also a lot of research that we did at the McNay Farm was really supported by that Leopold Center. So it was a disappointment for us for that to be changed because certainly the foraging grazing thing and the things that serve southern Iowa, really, Leopold Center did a really good job.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about grazing with Joe Sellers with the ISU Extension Office. The first workshop is coming up the 31st, May 31st, and it's, as you said, 4:30 to 9 o'clock at night. And then we've got one coming up June 14th, July 12th, August 30th, and November 8th. And I guess probably a number of sponsors have come together on this.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, and we really try to follow throughout the entire grazing season, so that's why we spend all that time going to different months. And in the past, you know, we've had some help from Dow AgroSciences, and they will actually be one of the people who are one of the presenters. They help with some speakers, and they also will help with some weed and brush control demonstrations. And, you know, the McNay Farm itself, that research farm is an important supporter for us. And then not just Iowa State University Extension and the Iowa Beef Center. So it's kind of a mix of speakers that are Iowa State speakers, but also NRCS and then some other industry speakers.
And so do you teach us about the quality of the grass, for example? How can I tell if it's good grass? What height it should be? Do I need to do anything to it? Stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll talk about all different types of things on management. So, but like basically, what types of animals need better quality grass? What types of animals can do better okay on a little bit more mature grass? Also, you know, how do you maybe do fertilizer programs to try to improve the production on that grass? Do we need to supplement it, especially, you know, with like minerals or other things that the cattle need besides what's available in the grass? So we talk about all those things throughout the entire course, and really basically talk about trying to get more plant diversity, and so better management and more managing the grass height and giving enough time for rest and recovery, then basically you get more diversity and it ends up being a lot better quality.
Is more diversity better for the cattle?
Yeah, more diversity is good for the cattle. It's also good for many classes of wildlife. You know, if we have a little bit more diverse type pastures and we have a mix of pastures, then it's better for especially a lot of songbirds, things like that. So there's a lot of other advantages to really well-managed grass. And really in our part of the state where we have a little more steep ground and maybe not quite as productive of soil, really protecting that soil and keeping from having soil erosion is kind of the key. And nothing does a better job than that than really having it in grass. So basically hay and pasture is a big part of that.
I just sort of presume that grass is grass. It's out there. There's a field. But maybe it has to be planted. Maybe it has to be reseeded. Does any of that have to happen?
It does. I mean, obviously, we've had a lot more land converted from pasture back to row crop lately. Because especially, you know, 6-7 years ago when corn prices were so high, it kind of leveraged some people to raise more corn. But right now, I think maybe the grass production is just as beneficial. But yes, we do have some people do new seedings. We have recommendations on what types of things to do there. We have ideas of how to improve what they have. So maybe they have just one type of grass, and maybe they want to introduce some other things like clover or some other things to give it more diversity. So all those make a difference. And like I mentioned earlier, the management is what is key to keep that happening and make it improve.
And management, what are the components of management, I guess? I'm thinking, you know.
Yeah, we call this, well, we do managed intensive grazing, and it doesn't mean that it's the intensity, it's the fact that your management is what's really intensified, not the fact that you're grazing it through the ground. So really, the things we do that get more better production really are, like we said, introduce legumes if you need to, maybe make sure the fertility is correct, and then also manage that grass so where we give it plenty of recovery time. So has good root systems and good plant material and really good coverage. So really, the more that we can give it a good residual height, maintain the grass heights, and then get more recovery time, and that'll give us a chance, hopefully, to graze even later into the fall and reduce our feed costs.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about grazing with Joe Sellers with the ISU Extension Office. Is there a magic number of X number of cows per acre?
Well, I'd say most people in Iowa, you know, it's about 2 acres per cow-calf pair is about what a lot of it is in southern Iowa. But certainly we'll have some that might be down as much as low as an acre and a half. Some people might have to be 3 acres per pair just because of the fact that the soils are so much different and different levels of management. So, you know, and that's obviously sounds like it's a lot of land for one cow, but compared to like the range states, it's probably 10% of what it might be in Nebraska or some places, other parts of the country. So we really have a good productive soils to raise cows and graze. It's just, you know, it takes a good management to be able to get that down and get a higher carrying capacity.
And I'm guessing that this takes into account, oh, say, dry years, wet years. You don't want to have too many cows and then it just all of a sudden be a drought.
Yeah, we have to have risk management ideas of what we're going to do if we do get run short. So we'd like to hope to have a little bit of a surplus so we really don't have to figure quite so close that we're going to be completely out if it gets a little dry. But a year like last year where it was so dry and we had to start feeding earlier in the year, then that's really changed the economics were like compared to a normal year. And the same with a really wet year, you know, we might get more productivity and have more grass. So we have to kind of base it on best and worst case scenarios and have a good plan for what we're going to manage if we have to be a little short on grass.
So everybody wants that Goldilocks just right number, not too many, not too few.
Right. I mean, usually people, especially when they start out, they're better off to start out and be fairly conservative on how they plan, try not to get too many, and then as they go along, they'll learn that maybe they can carry more than they thought and improve that. You know, we also have some land here in a few cases where it was in the Conservation Reserve Program, and some of that is going back to pasture, so some of that's been idle for a long time, and it'll take a little while for that to be more productive. So, you know, certainly it depends a little bit on the history, too, on what's been there and how much you can expect from it, or if it's been overgrazed for 2 or 3 years, and it's going to take a while for that to recover. So really kind of looking at it long-term and trying to improve it as we go along is what our goal is to do.
And so the different speakers will try to lead the cattle folks to that Goldilocks number.
Right. And then, the one thing we do, of course, on this particular workshop is about half the time we'll be in the classroom visiting about some topics, and about half the time we'll actually be out looking at pastures. So really, and really going out and seeing what's going on in the pasture and learning more about grass growth is really a key. So we definitely want to spend a lot of time out there really looking at show and tell and seeing what's out there rather than just talking about it.
Okay, so I just drive down the road and I just see grass and pastures and stuff, but when you drive down the road, you see good and bad management practices, I presume.
Yeah, and I'd say, obviously there's years that some people aren't going to be as good as others, so I don't really get too hung up on if somebody has a bad year and they have to graze a little too close, as long as they realize they did and they do a better job of giving it a chance to be protected more next year. Or maybe they graze it too close in June, maybe give it more time to recover in July and August. But yeah, I do see differences. And again, the point is there's just a lot less pasture acres in our area than there were because of, more row crop. Even though we have about as many beef cows as we've had for several years, we do have less pasture. So people are really trying to manage the pasture that we have better.
And so rotation, how does that work? I presume that you have different fields and you just move them from one field to another?
Yeah, and it could be just a pretty big pasture if you have a pretty good group of cows. You can just move from one pasture to another. A lot of times what people will use is we use electric fencing because it's a little more low cost and it can be more temporary. And so we'll basically have individual paddocks within a pasture and we'll move them from one to the next. And the more often we move them, then the more productivity you can get and probably the better, easier to rest the pasture and get more productivity. So, there's no right or wrong. It's just a matter that if you rotate it and give it some rest before you come back and graze it again, then it's going to improve that pasture a lot. And especially our goal is not to, if we graze a pasture this week, then we'd like to get them moved to another area before they start grazing the regrowth. So this time of year, it grows back pretty fast. So if you can move them every 2, 3, 4, 5 days, that'd be ideal. But even moving them once a week would be a big advantage compared to continuous grazing.
Paddocks sound expensive.
Yeah, it's not bad, really, because of the fact that a lot of times we can use temporary fencing. You can use high tensile wire if we want to make it more permanent, or one single strand will electrify to keep the cattle in and inside. And the other issue is trying to get water in the right place. So we want to make sure we have water, good water distribution, and have water where they need to go. But everybody has different ways, based on their own management. So maybe some people don't want to move them that often. Some people want to move them more often. I know that there's a guy I work with a lot with this type of grazing system, and this time of year he's moving them about every 2 or 3 days, but then later in the year he might be moving them once a week, where the grass is growing slower. So, it's some labor, but they usually almost have to see those cows every day to make sure they're doing okay, so it's not very hard to manage it. And the other thing that's really good in our area is there's probably availability to get cost share from Natural Resources Conservation Service to help with some of this managed grazing. So really, if they think that cost is a big issue, they probably need some help on some of the fencing and some of the watering and maybe even some of the pasture improvement by the EQIP program from NRCS. So that's another thing that can really help.
Okay, the workshops are May 31st, June 14th, July 12th, August 30th, and November 8th. And they're from 4:30 to 9 p.m., and they're at the McNay Research Farm. And do people need to pre-register?
Yeah, we do need them to pre-register because obviously I had to have a minimum number to be able to offer this class. So they can even just contact me directly, or they can talk to send something to the extension office in Sheraton to register. And we do have a meal each night too. So really, it's only $50 registration fee. But we probably have more like about $200 of cost in that between the resource materials and the meals and the speakers. So we'll have a little other support from other places to help subsidize that.
Okay, and it's called the Greenhorn Grazing Workshop Series. What if I think I already know a lot about pasture management and cattle? Mm-hmm. Am I going to learn something?
Yeah, I think so. That's one thing. Of course, some people kind of wonder about calling it greenhorn because it sounds like you're all beginners. But honestly, I think almost anyone could benefit from parts of this. And we certainly will allow, if somebody's interested only in one or two parts of the workshop, they can select those and come, and it's just a $15 per event fee then. So if they say, I'm really only interested in the one that's on fencing, then they can come to that one if that's what they're interested in. But they definitely need to let me know if they're going to come, so I go ahead and get enough materials.
Anything to add, Joe?
I believe so. I mean, it's just in the class that we probably had about 300 people do this over the last 8 or 9 years, and we just hadn't had one here lately, so we thought we'd better have one up there in Iowa, right in my right where I live, instead of going some other places I've been doing it in the past. So.
Thanks to Joe Sellers for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.